Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling something really, really pivotal for getting Salesforce deployments right. Effective user stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
And look, this isn't just, you know, a tech team thing. It's actually strategic for leaders, for anyone who really wants their tech projects to, well, succeed.
It's amazing how often this gets overlooked, though. We see so many projects kind of stumble because the needs just weren't defined well enough up front.
Right. There's that statistic, isn't there? Something like nearly 35% of project failures tied back to weak requirements.
Exactly. And think about Salesforce ecosystems that can get complex, right? Custom code, integrations everywhere, automations.
Oh, yeah.
If your requirements are fuzzy there, it multiplies the problems. Delays, yeah. Cost overruns, and you build something that doesn't actually deliver the business value you hoped for.
So that's our mission for this deep dive then, to really pull out the crucial knowledge, the practical stuff on how to write great Salesforce user stories.
Kind of a shortcut, yeah. To avoid those common traps and actually drive success, we'll look at best practices, agile tools.
And even some new AI stuff that's shaking things up a bit.
Definitely, that too.
Okay, so let's kick things off with maybe the biggest shift needed, focusing squarely on the business value.
Mm-hmm.
We've all seen those vague stories like create a workflow for approvals.
Right, which tells you what exactly about the why, what problem does it solve, what's the goal?
Compare that to something like, as a sales manager, I want an automated approval process for discounts over 20%. Okay. Specific role, specific trigger.
So that we can accelerate deal closure while maintaining margin control. Boom. There's the value.
That's a totally different starting point for a conversation, isn't it?
Night and day. The second one immediately tells you the business goal closed deals faster and the KPI protect margins. The best Salesforce teams always tie stories back to metrics like that.
So a key question then, maybe during backlog grooming, should always be, how are we going to measure if this story was successful?
Absolutely. If you can't answer that clearly, the story probably isn't ready. It needs more thought, more conversation.
And that brings us to things like the I invest criteria. People might have heard of it. Independent, negotiable, valuable.
Valuable, estimable, small, testable. Yeah, that's a great checklist. But let's think beyond just the acronym.
Right.
Like independent, it's not just technically separate. It should ideally deliver some standalone business value. Negotiable means being open to discussing the scope of that value, not just how it's built.
And valuable. I mean, that's the core, right?
It is. You have to be able to say how it helps achieve a strategic goal. If a story doesn't have clear value, it's not just neutral. It's actually a drain on resources, a liability, really.
Okay, so anchor on value, got it. But then how do we make sure everyone understands exactly what needs to be built?
Yeah.
The developers, testers, the business folks.
Right, avoiding that lost in translation problem. That's where acceptance criteria come in. They're absolutely essential for creating that shared understanding.
Defining done, basically.
Yeah, precisely. Let's go back to that discount approval example. The sales manager wants it automated. Okay, fine. But what does that mean in practice?
So the acceptance criteria would spell that out.
Exactly. Things like, okay, when a quote has 20% discount, it automatically routes to the sales manager. That's one criterion.
Right.
The manager gets notified. They can approve or reject. The rep gets notified of the outcome. The opportunity record gets updated. There's an audit trail.
Got it. Specific, testable actions and outcomes.
And for Salesforce specifically, these criteria often need to get into platform details, don't they?
Yeah, good point. Like, which validation rule should fire? Or maybe a field needs to become mandatory at a certain point?
Or permission sets, who can actually do the approving? Mm-hmm. And does this new flow mess with any existing automation? You have to think about those cross-object impacts.
Getting that level of detail up front saves so much pain later.
Absolutely. And to tighten that clarity even further, there's the given when then format. It comes from behavior-driven development, BDD.
Ah, yes. That can be super helpful for avoiding ambiguity. Have you seen teams run into trouble when they don't use something like this?
All the time. Ambiguity is development's worst enemy. So for our example, it might be given a submitted quote with 20% discount. That's the context.
Right.
When the sales rep clicks request approval, that's the action.
Then an approval record is created and linked to the opportunity, and it's routed to the manager, the specific outcome.
See how precise that is? Very little room for misunderstanding what needs to happen.
Yeah, that structure forces you to think through the whole sequence, preconditions, action, exact result. gets everyone dev, QA, business aligned on what done really means.
Which, as we said, drastically cuts the risk of building the wrong feature.
Okay, so we have value, we have clarity through acceptance criteria, maybe using given when then. What about frameworks like EinInvest and the 3 C's? How do they fit in, especially in a Salesforce context?
Good question. Let's revisit EinInvest quickly. Independent in Salesforce. Well, sometimes it's tricky, right? Creating a totally new custom object might be independent, but modifying a complex existing flow, less so. It's nuanced.
Makes sense. It's all interconnected.
And the 3 C's card, conversation, confirmation, that conversation part is so vital for Salesforce.
Why specifically for Salesforce?
Because there are often multiple ways to solve something, right? Declarative clicks, code, flows, different tools. That ongoing chat between admins, devs, and the business users is where you figure out the best way.
And uncover those hidden assumptions or edge cases.
Exactly. The what ifs. What if the approver is out of office? What if the discount is exactly 20%? You only find those by talking, not just relying on the initial card.
Which highlights the need for regular backlog refinement sessions.
Critical. Getting those admins, devs, and subject matter experts, the business folks who really know the process together regularly. Dissecting stories, asking those what happens if questions before coding starts. That saves so much rework.
Proactive problem solving.
That's the goal.
Okay, we've talked a lot about features users see, but what about the stuff happening under the hood? The non-functional requirements.
Ah, yes. The unseen but utterly critical stuff. Compliance, security, data integrity, how it integrates with other systems, performance, scalability.
Things the user might not directly interact with, but they definitely feel it if it goes wrong.
Absolutely. And these are fundamental to a healthy Salesforce org. Ignoring them is asking for trouble.
So how do you handle those in an agile way? They don't always fit neatly into a user story format.
Two main ways, really. One is to bake them into the acceptance criteria of related functional stories.
Okay, give me an example.
Sure. Say you have a story about displaying customer billing info on the account page. An acceptance criterion could be: customer view includes billing data pulled via the ERP integration and respects the customer's consent settings. See? You've woven in integration and compliance.
Got it. So the functional story isn't done unless those non-functional aspects are also met.
Exactly. And that's huge in regulated sectors like healthcare or finance. HIPAA, FINRA. Compliance isn't optional. The AC becomes the proof.
And the other way.
Create separate, standalone technical stories, sometimes called enabler stories.
Like what?
As a security officer, I want nightly backups configured and encryption at rest enabled for all Salesforce data so that we meet our security policy and ensure business continuity.
Okay, so it's a story, but the user is maybe an architect or the system itself.
Precisely. Making these technical needs visible in the backlog ensures they get prioritized, estimated, and actually done. It prevents them from being forgotten until, you know, there's a breach or the system grinds to a halt.
Right. Avoids those nasty surprises.
Yeah.
Okay, so we understand what makes a good story, including the non-functionals. How does this all fit into the actual product delivery? Let's talk Agile.
Yeah, Salesforce and Agile are kind of a natural fit, aren't they? The platform itself is flexible, iterative. Those three big releases a year force you to be adaptable.
Much more so than traditional waterfall, yeah, where everything is planned upfront and rigid.
Definitely. Waterfall struggles with the kind of changes and refinements that are common with cloud platforms, and the data backs it up. Agile projects generally have higher success rates.
Why is that, fundamentally?
It's about learning and adapting. Short cycles, getting working software in front of users quickly, getting feedback, adjusting course. You realize value faster and reduce the risk of building the wrong thing over months or years.
So what are the key agile pieces in a Salesforce context?
You've got your daily stand-ups, quick syncs, sprint planning, figuring out what you can realistically achieve in the next couple of weeks. Sprint demos showing stakeholders what you built.
Getting that crucial feedback loop going.
Exactly. And retrospectives looking back at the sprint, figuring out how to improve the process itself. Continuous improvement is key.
And the product owner role. That seems critical.
Hugely. Ideally, someone who really understands the business needs maybe a sharp Salesforce admin, maybe a key stakeholder. But crucially, someone empowered to make decisions about priorities.
They own the backlog, essentially.
Right. And in really big Salesforce programs, you might even have multiple POs, maybe one for Sales Cloud, one for Service Cloud, all reporting up to a chief PO or program manager to keep everything aligned.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, to manage all this, the stories, the sprints, the workflow teams, need tools, right?
Oh, absolutely. And for Salesforce teams using Agile, one tool really dominates the landscape.
Let me guess. Jira.
You got it! Atlassian Jira. Surveys show a big majority of Salesforce Agile teams rely on it, way more than, say, trying to manage this stuff in spreadsheets.
Which just doesn't scale, does it? Especially for complex projects.
Not really. Jira gives you that central place for everything. Creating stories, adding descriptions, points, those all important acceptance criteria. You can track progress visually through different stages to do, in progress, testing, done.
And link things together, like bugs to stories or break down big features.
Exactly. You can structure work with epics and subtasks, attach mockups or technical docs right to the story, even set up automations for things like code review notifications.
I've also heard about story mapping in Jira. Especially for bigger initiatives.
Yeah, using plugins like Easy Agile is common. It lets you visualize the whole user journey. Say, marketing generates a lead, sales works the opportunity, finance handles billing.
Okay.
And then you map your user stories along that journey, maybe grouping them into releases, like what's essential for the MVP, what comes next, what's for the future.
That sounds really useful for seeing the big picture and making sure you're building a coherent experience.
It is. It helps spot gaps and dependencies. And again, it feeds back into those refinement sessions using the map to discuss priorities and break down those bigger chunks.
Now, Jira is great for managing the requirements, the stories. But Salesforce itself saw a gap, right, between the story and the actual code or configuration being built and deployed.
They did. Mm-hmm. And that led to Salesforce DevOps Center launched late 2022, I think.
Yeah, sounds about right.
It's designed to bridge that gap, to connect the what the user story with the how the actual development and release process in Salesforce. It tackles a pain point many teams had with disconnected tools.
So how does it work practically?
It introduces work items within Salesforce, which are basically your user stories or tasks living right there. The key thing is you can link these work items directly to the metadata changes developers are making in sandboxes and to the specific Git branches they're using for version control.
Ah, so real end-to-end traceability.
Exactly. You can follow that implement discount approval work item all the way from the developer sandbox through testing stages, UAT, right into production. You see exactly which Apex classes, flows, fields are tied to that requirement.
That visibility must be huge, especially for audits or troubleshooting.
Game changer. Less ambiguity about what's in a release, and it integrates smoothly with Git naturally, but also with CI/CD tools like Kapato or Gearset. And crucially, it links bidirectionally with Jira.
So Jira for planning, DevOps Center for build and deploy, but they talk to each other.
That's the idea, a more integrated flow. And for leaders, it means better change management, less risk of rogue deployments, and ultimately faster, more reliable releases. The DevOps survey data from Salesforce shows top teams really leverage these kinds of practices.
Okay, this is getting pretty sophisticated.
Yeah.
But what about taking it even further? You mentioned AI earlier.
Yeah.
How is AI starting to impact this whole user story process?
Yeah, this is where things get really interesting. Platforms like GetGenerative.ai are emerging, built specifically to use AI to streamline Salesforce implementations.
Streamline how?
Well, take their design agent. You can feed it relatively unstructured input notes from a workshop, a high-level request like, we need partners to be able to request marketing funds.
Okay.
And the AI can actually generate well-formed, Salesforce-specific user stories with detailed acceptance criteria.
Really? From just a basic request?
Apparently so. For that partner funds example, it might spit out, as a partner manager, I want a process for partners to submit fund requests via the partner community so that we can track requests and allocate budget effectively, and then generate AC covering the submission form, approval steps, notifications, budget tracking fields.
Wow. And these are actually usable.
The claim is they're highly accurate and Salesforce ready. It can even auto tag them for traceability back to business goals or epics. And then often you can push them straight into Jira via an integration.
Okay, I could see how that would save a ton of time, especially in that initial requirements gathering and documentation phase. Sprint zero, right?
Exactly. Teams report cutting that initial story writing time dramatically, like 70% reduction is one figure I saw. And the accuracy of the AI-generated acceptance criteria is supposedly quite high, like 85, 90%.
That's impressive. Does it do anything beyond just generating stories?
Yeah, there's also a testing agent. It analyzes the stories in AC and can automatically generate test scenarios.
In that given when then format we talked about.
Mm-hmm. Covering functional tests, edge cases, It can even categorize and prioritize them, link them back to themes, and sync them with Jira or export them to your QA tools.
So accelerating testing as well.
That's the potential, yeah. Faster test case creation, potentially better coverage earlier on.
And how does it know so much about Salesforce specifics?
Well, GetGenerative.ai was trained on a massive amount of Salesforce documentation, like 30,000 plus help pages, best practices, etc. So it has that context built in.
Ah, so it might suggest using a standard feature instead of building custom.
Exactly. The example they give is suggesting Salesforce digital engagement if you ask for chat support, rather than just assuming you need to build something from scratch. That embedded expertise is pretty valuable.
Are companies actually using this? What are the results?
Seems so. There are case studies, a consulting firm cutting documentation time in half, a big Fortune 100 company using it to analyze old support tickets to generate new user stories for product improvements. It's starting to show real-world impact.
Okay, so wrapping this all up, the big message seems to be that getting user stories right in Salesforce isn't just a nice to have, it's fundamental.
Absolutely. It's strategic. Good stories lead to faster sprints, fewer bugs, better adoption, better ROI. It's the foundation.
So for you listening, if you're working on a Salesforce project, especially if you feel bogged down by the manual effort and planning and defining everything,
then looking into tools like GetGenerative.ai might be really interesting. Using AI to help draft stories, generate tests, leverage that embedded Salesforce knowledge, it could make a real difference.
Yeah, that ability to streamline discovery, design, testing. Mm-hmm. It's a potentially powerful way to bring more speed and clarity to the whole delivery process.
Definitely worth exploring.
So maybe a final thought to leave people with. Think about these principles we've discussed, the clear communication, the focus on value, that shared understanding you get from good user stories. How could you apply those ideas elsewhere in your work?
Mm-hmm. And also, how might AI like this truly change the game for requirements and project management down the road? It feels like we're just scratching the surface, something to definitely keep an eye on.